Two inmates and a kitchen worker were convicted earlier this month for their roles in a massive jailhouse drug and cell phone smuggling scheme at the Baltimore Detention Center. Federal prosecutors say the scheme allowed gang leaders at the prison to direct crimes on the outside, deal drugs, even have sex with jail guards that in cases resulted in pregnancies. 35 people pleaded guilty after the sweeping 44-person indictment that was handed down in 2013. This case from Baltimore is exactly the kind of thing that David Scarbeck is writing about in his new book, The Social Order of the Underworld, and he speaks with me about it.
What we see when we look at American prisons and jails really around the country is the ability for these individuals to come into substantial power, to have a substantial influence over other inmates is just really shocking. It's really outstanding. Inmates like Tavon White are able to basically run entire prisons, and that's a dramatic influence that we didn't really previously know very much about.
On the face of it, you'd say prison gangs, terrible, we've got to get rid of them, but you are writing about a very important role that they play.
Yeah, most people see prison gang members and they assume that these people are violent and racist and they're there to undermine social order. What I find, actually, is that they're one of the most important sources of stability, of order, and safety to inmates in California prisons. They govern and regulate inmate life. And as a result of that, a lot of inmates are a lot safer than they would be otherwise.
So they play this role because the structure that was there before isn't fulfilling that role.
Prison officials, prison staff do a lot in most instances to make inmates safe. But prisons are inherently dangerous, volatile, vulnerable environments. And so even when they do their job well, inmates very often still feel like they need extra sources of protection. And what they've done in California and many other states is to turn to inmate organizations like prison gangs to provide that safety and security.
Those of us who are not in prison and have no intention of ever spending any time there are affected by this.
Absolutely, we're affected. We're affected in many different ways. One, through the fact that street gangs organize their business based on what the Mexican mafia says. But also, and maybe more importantly, prison gangs, they provide an important source of order and safety in prison. They protect their own members, that is. But in doing so, they undermine rehabilitation. So, you know, in an ideal world, when people go to prison, they're going to kind of reform their behavior. They're going to be less likely to commit crimes when they're released. Well, when you affiliate with the prison gang, that very often requires a lifetime commitment. So when an individual goes into prison, he joins or affiliates with the gang to stay safe. But when he leaves prison, he has to continue to work for them, sometimes following the orders of the incarcerated gang leaders. All of those are going to make people more likely to reoffend and less likely to, you know, reengage with, you know, the productive, peaceful members of society. The fundamental problem is this, is that our prisons are too large, our prison systems, our prison populations are too large. And when you have prisons that, you know, on average are 4,000, 5,000 inmates in them, prison officials just can't, we can't expect them to be able to control, watch over, monitor, and keep so many inmates safe. We're asking them to do something essentially that they can't do. And when they fail to do that, as, you know, I think it may inevitably be the case, inmates very reasonably turn to other sources of order and safety.
When we talk about remedies, is an elimination of these prison gangs the remedy? What can we do about this?
Well, one of the most important ways that we can limit the control that prison gangs have is to make prisons smaller and safer. Small, safe prisons are much more easily controlled by prison staff, and that means that there's less demand or need for what these prison gangs produce, which is to regulate inmate life. So making prisons smaller and safer undermines their power. I believe that the American criminal justice system is in a very precarious and difficult situation. And one indication of that is the size of the prison population. The U.S. locks up more people than any country in the world, and with one exception, a higher rate of its population. One way we could kind of contextualize this is to say the U.S. only holds about 4% of the world's population, but they lock up about 22% of all of the world's prisoner population. So we use prisons so much more than any other developed country. We're also, by the way, the only developed country whose prison gangs are controlled to the extent that they are here in the United States. So my passion and what I think is a crucial social issue of our day is that we need to reform prisons. One of the consequences of mass incarceration, the huge prison populations, and the focus of my research in particular, is that it then gives rise to these gangs. If we're going to incarcerate so many people, we need to understand what life is like behind those bars.
David Scarbeck, a lecturer in the Department of Political Economy at King's College in London, his new book is called The Social Order of the Underworld.